the request of many of his wonderful friends, we're preparing this tape of the last three messages by Brother Ruff Barnard. These messages were preached at the Galvez Baptist Church near Gonzales, Louisiana, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday morning. And then, of course, Monday night, just before the service, Brother Barnard had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. And then on Tuesday morning, had another, which was the fatal heart attack. These messages were preached on January the 19th and January the 20th. And we're going to have them just like they were preached. No changes made at all. These tapes were made while he was preaching. We're just transferring them to this tape. We hope that you'll enjoy these messages. We'll have one of them in just a... And now here is the last message of Brother Ruff Barnard, and the title was Witnessing a Good Confession.
I want to give us a theme for these morning services, and we'll start off with the book of Acts at the 19th chapter, begin reading at verse 8, and perhaps we'll sort of fly on the same ditch. I'm not positive yet, but I like to do that. I want to address myself and you and ask you to face the biggest hindrance we have in our day. The biggest hindrance we have in witnessing a good confession of Jesus Christ. There is too much of moaning about how it used to be. We could spend a couple hours talking about how it used to be. It's not that way now. And we're not yet certain about how it will be tomorrow. That's in the Lord's hand. But we desperately need to face up to the fact that we have no right to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. That's one of the commandments. That doesn't mean what we call cursing. That name don't claim to be a product of the triumphant grace of God, that you are. Don't say, look at that. Just look what the Lord. Just look at His power manifested in my life. Look how He conquers, makes captive, bond slaves of everybody. That's what salvation is. Of course, then the name you get saved except yourself. Then you belong to Christ.
Amen.
Forevermore. And it's terrible sin. Make out right. You're one of those people following in the triumphant train of the Lord Jesus Christ as you can reach down the highway of time, and you're His captive. Bless your heart. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in me. The Lord has well said that the last word of our Lord Jesus the person is not I save you, but I claim you. I claim your mind. You see, we live all the days of our lives in something that's been called salvation in Christianity that enables men and women to have peace, say, I'm all right, I'm saved, long way to glory. But at the same time, they are not totally committed to the redemptive program of Jesus Christ. As a result, we are bringing a generation of Christless Christians. And it's time for us to face up to the fact that unless one has been saved to take part in the passion, the redemptive program of Christ, he will say it's tough. That's the answer to the fact that most churches are not built, of course, to the people, made up of a bunch of spectators instead of a bunch of people totally involved in the confession of Jesus Christ in their day. And how rough it is. This is our day. We just got one task, not two, just one. That's to witness a good confession of Jesus Christ in our day. It would be a day like nobody else, no mind. It would be a day in season, all right. It would be a day out of season. It would be a day of that foreign spirit. That'd be wonderful. It would be a day when it seems that the heavens are shut up and God has hidden himself from us. That seems to be more characteristic of our day. That's still our job, is to witness a good confession of Jesus Christ. Now I want to raise with you the challenge afresh, because unless we preachers and professing Christians are completely revolutionized in that pursuit, abandon man-made traditions and what we've heard and what we've been taught, and become involved in all of the issues that are tearing the heart out of civilization, breaking everything in their frame. I think unless that's true, unless we become as totally involved as communists are, I think we're on the way out. I don't think our organized churches will be in existence in this country 5 years from now. There's something radical takes place for them. These are serious moments, and I want to address ourselves in the morning says, if I can, to the twofold proposition that there is no climate for the preaching of the gospel today. It's like pouring water off the dust back to preach what we call the gospel. Nobody's interested much, and we just well face it. Can't ring the doorbell or go on the street corner in a business place or in the average congregation calling itself a church. Find anybody much who cares who Jesus is or whether he did anything on the cross to anybody being good or not, because nobody can hear the gospel unless they're in desperation. And they repeat it. We have forgotten it in our day, and the whole program, church life and evangelism, has ignored the fact that only people in desperate condition can hear. You can preach what you call the gospel till you're blue in the face. People can't hear a word of it unless they're in desperate circumstances. Is that right?
Yes. Amen.
So, we got sense enough coming out of the rain, we got to do one, two things. We got to quit claiming to be churches, members of the body of Christ and given community. Or we got to address ourselves to the biggest hindrance, not the moral condition, not in the condition. Our trouble is not in condition. Our trouble is that we do not speak with authority. Mm-hmm. If we want to find out what's wrong with the world, look in the mirror. You are. If we want to find out why all hell is breaking loose in America, look at the churches. They're responsible for it. Not the politicians, not the gangsters, not the Hollywood actresses, but the churches that claim to be the visible representations of the blessed, glorious, many-numbered body of Christ. We are responsible.
Right.
Now we just well put on that terrible condition with what all they're doing. And we just well come on up to the mourner's bench, get on the lick log, and plead guilty, and become a bunch of mourners, She can go out carrying a mourner's beach around in our hearts.
Yes.
Begging God in His good providence and good pleasure, in spite of our wilderness, to once more in our day help us to speak with the authority of Almighty God. Now this is terribly important for two reasons. I'll get to the scripture in a minute. I want to see what we're going to read about and the tragedy of it, and see if I can whet your appetite. Quit being so nicely satisfied with correct doctrine or correct practices, and get terribly unsatisfied with just one thing, is that apparently we speak and God does not confirm what we say. Did you get it? While the church is to speak, no man was ever given the commission to preach the gospel. The church was given the commission to preach the gospel. This congregation must speak as a congregation. Speak to this community. And speak in a way that's to be heard. And the only way that can take place is that you speak, and God does, like He did in the ministry of Paul. He confirms what you say. Well, you can speak all day and all night, and nothing will happen unless God takes that word and confirms it for an application of His power. Now that's my trouble. As you do, brother, in trouble, you got some nice little sermons with nice little fellows like I am, and you speak, nobody pays any attention to it much, because God is not confirming what we say. Let's read here about a man who was known in hell, and applied to ourselves as individuals and as a congregation here, members of the body of Christ. Beginning in verse 8 of the 19th chapter of Acts, Paul went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And he spoke that 3 months, and he was somewhat excited. He tried to argue with people, if you please, and persuade them concerning the only thing that amounts to ill beings, the blessed rule of the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but they went so far as to speak evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, and then they went to disputing daily in the school of one Barnabas. And it did this for about the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, they must spread out, and that so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. I have a way of saying something that sort of get people to wake up, maybe and startle us a little bit, that when I get to be the dictator of the United States, and whether that'll take place or not, or the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, or the Pope or something, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to burn every church building in America up, and I'm going to fix it so the people support they can't rebuild. That may be a great blessing. What's going on, Brother Martin? Maybe we quit substituting attendance on the place for getting the gospel for all of us. Huh? Did you realize we've been going downhill ever since we started building what we call church built? When the church people didn't have a place to meet except this Jesus' home or down to the river or out on the street corner or somewhere, they evangelized the whole world, one generation. Ever since. Because what we call being Christian now, going to what we call church. And fellas down in Jasper, Alabama, where I just came from, they went out and invited people to come to church. And I laughed at them. How could that be? Church in the building, church some people. And I wish we had some churches now, and they would be people preaching the gospel every time. time you find the bus stand still on there. Amen. That's when that'd be wonderful. Amen. Well, don't do it, you know. Don't keep an eye on now. We're acting like churches of the communists or the Jehovah's Witnesses or somebody. That's right. Don't be liable paying attention to the book of Acts or the communists. They're the fastest growing religion on top side of the earth. And that with many members, fewer than 3 million of them, even in Russia. And started out with only 50 dedicated communists in a tenement building up here in New York City when Lenin and fought the battle out and won. And he said, we're going to keep the party small and nobody will go along for the ride. I don't find anybody now who claims to be a Christian that's involved. They're nice little people who wouldn't hurt a flea. But the communists are involved. They'll die for their religious belief. They'll go hungry. They'll murder. They'll steal. They'll do anything on earth. They're totally committed. They're not. So Paul and his disciples, he taught them they must spread out everywhere. Because in the space of 2 years, the whole shooting match in that section of Asia heard the word. They did not depend on trying to get somebody to come to a place. They were like the old Quakers, who were right when they said the service begins, when the meeting ends. And they met together for the purposes of the New Testament outline. But they didn't depend on those meetings to carry out the Great Commission. They went out from their places of worship and prayer and spread out so that everybody heard. Doesn't mean everybody believed, but everybody heard. Our job not to get people to leave. Our job is to get. This continued for a couple of years. But there was something else that took place. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. Verse 10 tells us that Paul and his disciples, spent a couple of years and they did in such an effective manner that all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. But something else happened. While they were spreading the word, God was doing something. Oh, my soul. God, help us, dear people. How can we continue almost prayerless? How can we not turn our faces of worship as a call and into faces of deep intercession, pleadings with God, moans of the Spirit, refusal to go along, just studying the Word and having services and going through the motions? How much longer will that teach the Bible on prayer meeting night? How much longer are we going to call ourselves members of the body of Christ and we can't even get the membership to meet together, state in places and prostrate themselves before the Holy God, crying to God for relief? Relief on one thing. Here it is. While they were getting out the word, God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Who did that? God did. God did. They did the preaching. They did the witness. God did the confirming. We talk about, oh, I wish we'd have revival. What would revival be? God confirming His word. what would revival be? Instead of you going out and talking to somebody that you may not have much attention to it, said to me that God would come on the scene, your little witness and your little testimony, proclamation of the glory and the gospel. Something would happen. God Almighty would take that truth and pierce hearts with it. That'd be revival, isn't that right?
Amen.
Is that what we want?
Amen.
Aren't we getting awful tired of witnessing to our own loved ones? They don't even listen to us. I'm getting tired because I got gray in my hair now. I've seen so little of the confirming work of the Holy Ghost. If I were backslidden enough, I got some sons over there, cracker jacks, and they ain't worth a dime. Oh, Father, confirming ministry of God. One plants, another waters, that's all we can do. Takes God to give the increase. Paul and his disciples can spread the word all ways, and nothing will happen unless God confirms the word. That's how it acts today. I don't know whether we could face it or not. I wouldn't call God-professing people to despair, but I wish I could wipe the smirk of self-satisfaction off our faces. And I wish I could live a few days in America when the professing Church of Jesus Christ was on its face and utter repentance. Oh, God, why do we witness and you do not confirm? Why do we preach and you do not confirm the confirming work of the Holy Ghost? God wrought special miracles. God did it, but watch it. He did it by the hands of Paul. He used me. He used me. Look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and God gives those people credit. He says, by faith, an act of his own. Noah did this, and Abraham did this, and some of them stopped the mouth of the lion, and some of them had their tongue dragged out. All of that, by faith! God wrought special miracles, but he wrought them through event. The hands of Paul. God, help us with no right to call ourselves churches or Christians or preachers or followers of the Lord, unless we're people that God uses to bring this generation up short. Make a generation do what they've not had to do since you and I have been on the scene. Do business for the living God. Oh, we're stuck, you know, in creeds and doctrines and whether the Bible's so or not, which church is right. Your opinion and mine, this generation's never been confronted by our miracle-working, confirming, living God. Here's me to say, as to whether America's gone, whether we're a reprobate nation, whether our churches are reprobate, are absolutely disapproved and rejected of God. When I read what's going on even now in Indonesia, yeah, I'm happy that there's at least one spot where God Almighty is showing men and women he's a living God, not an absentee, but a living God. I've talked with three different missionaries myself. I know it to be true. Of course, the Christian magazines all over America have been giving a lot of publicity to it. For something happened in Indonesia that tore up all our little doctrines and what we said founded and so on. It just couldn't happen and all that. A bunch of something happened back down there. But folks are being raised from their graves. People are being raised from the dead. As the Word of God proclaimed in Indonesia right now. Brother, hold that little heart for something. You know, we done put God in the box, you know. He used to have power, but he ain't got none now. That's terrible on us poor folks over here. We got to have an alibi, you know. And we say, well, God used to be alive, but now that's done. But it ain't so in Indonesia. I can have an alibi. It makes me happy. I say, well, bless God, that's some more evidence a man put his teeth in. That God's back of the Word. You can argue about this Bible and try to prove it's the Word of God, and folks will get first base unless you proclaim it as God confirmed. Isn't that right? You know, in Indonesia, they've been saved by the multiplied thousands. I talked to missionaries over there that said the Holy Spirit will come on the congregation, the whole outfit will be converted. First time I've ever read in history, I affected so that evangelism led to what we call revival. While the Christian people, and this be a little hard for us people to take, the Christian people in Indonesia, mostly Baptists and Pentecostals, and they have joined together. And the Baptists and the Pentecostals, they've lined up that way. And they've gone through by through, all through. Everybody knocked on every door, been in every public place for the last 3 years, still going. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I dare I now. It's amazing how God uses people that ain't straight like I am. I got sat out to the smart God Almighty came to us, ain't no bother. We know so much truth, you know. And boy, that just tears up all my doctrine, all my little pet passions that are tearing tatters, you know. But it rejoices me that at least in one spot there are others, but the most signal place in the world now. That's proving that God's still doing like He did in the New Testament. The Word proclaims that after God comes and confirms His faith. That's what I want. Now this is our biggest trouble. You know, that's your biggest trouble. God help us. I want us to get so dissatisfied. It might drive us to confession and prayer. Oh, it can't go on. It just can't. No. And all we're doing, getting the word out, nobody. Yeah, that's just your opinion, brother. What? Man's got a righteous opinion. People listen to me preach. I agree with the preacher. Well, probably right, you know, wasn't nothing much of it, but any of it. Anyhow, I tell what people will agree to when they see the finger of God. When they see the finger of God. Man, the name was Uzziah, who got so popular as the king of the Israelite people, he got to where the people couldn't see God for looking at him. God smote him with leprosy and killed him. The scripture says, the year the king Uzziah died, God had killed Uzziah because the people all worshiped him and had a use for God. And God came and did something about it. And he smote Uzziah with leprosy. He was a good man, got him out of the way. And so I heard six says, in the year the king Uzziah died, I said, I saw the Lord. And one who didn't need to see the Lord no more, but no more do that. Isn't that a picture of our need today?
Yeah.
For God to come and kill some of our idols. Maybe some of us would see the Lord, and we begin to cry, woe, give me. Woe, give me. God wrought special miracles for the hands of Paul, so that from his body, were brought unto the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now it's a pretty good, I don't know, picture of the situation you and I in, where we're trying to witness a good confession of Christ. I have been in many cities, turn on the radio and listen to some radio preacher and say, send me a dollar and I will anoint a cloth or a handkerchief and you put it to your body and the devils will go. People send in their dogs. That we make fun of that, don't we? It's a pretty good parable of the condition we're in. This actually happened when God was on the scene. Now he got the form. He could take some little pieces of cloth, some handkerchiefs, you know, and breathe on, bless them, send them out and get a dollar and go back and chewing gum with it. Nothing happened. What I want is not the form. We got pretty good doctrine, huh? We got fairly good creeds, haven't we? We got everything set for the authority and power of God to confirm what we're trying to do. Now, I understand I'm totally sold out of what's called a local church. I don't need any other kind. I'm for it. I'm not going to quit. Might run me off, but I'm not going to quit the local church. Bad as they are, much out of order as they are, we still got to have what we call a community of God, people who committed to the task of getting the gospel to all the world in a local community. I'm for it. I'm totally sold out to that. What I'm trying to say this morning is, I'd love for us to get so dissatisfied with the fact that we're here, we have a place to be. Once in a while we get sort of feeling guilty and we go out and invite somebody to come preaching. Once in a while we try to get in a word edgewise, some of our loved ones and our neighbors. What I want is for us to get so dissatisfied with all that we're doing, apart from God confirming what we do. Now this, you know, it's mighty easy to talk about conditions. Woo! You just look what the Democrats did, or the Republicans did. Let's look at all. Ain't that cool? But it comes close to home, and it's not Christ's question. Under God, everything that's wrong in America, in our home life, in our social life, in our economic life, in our political life, everything is laid right at the door of the churches of America.
Amen.
Who needs to repent? We do, bless God. We'll do that in the crowd anyway. We're the ones that are responsible. What are you trying to say, Brother Barnes? I'm saying it's prayer meeting time.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's confession. It's recognition. And Brother Barnes, this won't encourage us to be happy. I don't think a child of God can have any real joy unless he has God Almighty confirming his life with wins. I think we just crank up this thing we call joy and happiness, don't you? Apart from it. I'm going to begin with the 13th verse tomorrow, God willing, and talk about the effort of some people to imitate the power and the authority of God. Just can't do it, can't it? Huh? We've done a lot of that. We give this all substitutes. This is the day of the substitutes, you know. I grew up in Houston, Texas, in the last few years. That city, I'm saying, the fastest growing spot on earth. He'd come down to what's made a tremendous growth? The substitute business. They found something in oil, they can make some sort of something that they never heard of before. And all sorts of chemicals. That's what made in Houston. They're making something that looks like the real thing and gets the job done, but it isn't. Just think of all of the things we've used as a substitute for the real thing. And I guess we've done the best we could. And I'm not standing outside and throwing rocks. I'm on the inside trying to call us back. I don't know whether God gave us enough. But with the ears and not under God, we ought to be confessing and calling. Lord, confirm your word. Over the Elijah stood up on Mount Carmel when things were going the wrong way. He said, Lord, how don't you show this crowd who you are and who I am? What your word's all about.
Amen.
And I got this thing all fixed up now, and I want to make it as hard as I can. I got all the killing and the block here, and I'm going to pour all of it. And if you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not these false gods of Baal, if I am your servant, I have delivered your life. Send the fire down here and burn this out there. That's what's the issue of this hour. Yet we're your people. Yet you're the creator of God, not the many gods of present day religion and so called Christianity. Yet we are giving out your remembering that God never has done anything except by speaking. God never exerts his power in any way except through the Word. So Elijah said, and you should go around anymore. We're not getting anywhere. Lord, you show this outfit who you are. And then allow the false falsity set show them who I am. I don't know yet, brother. I can claim to be God's child, God's preacher. I'm about ready to quit the ministry if God don't come and say it. That's right. Mm-hmm. Now listen to that bird. That's my church. He's my son. And the same token for the church. Well, is that the church? Is that church? It's high time that in this community, forgetting every other condition, there's just one answer now that we must come to far and seek far. Lord, you come show that this outfit's a church. Huh? And I confirm in his word. Amen. That's our need. Tomorrow we'll look into people that good. Let's manufacture this. Can you manufacture it? Can you? We've been trying to do it long enough. I am a great admirer of this young Pentecostal preacher, David Wilkerson. In New York City some years ago. If you're not familiar with him, you ought to get. He was a pastor, some little old congregation, one of the many splits among the Pentecostal people. They split by the Baptist. And he said the Lord instructed him to go to New York City. And he'd go around and spend 2-3 days a week, go back and preach to the congregation on Sunday. Finally gave up his little work and moved. Got in his support and everything to New York City. God has seemed to prosper his word, and it's spread everywhere, and he's doing something. I believe God views it. I never met the young man, but I've heard him on tape a number of times, and the anointing of God is on him. That's what I want, don't you?
Amen.
See what I'm driving at, the pastor's telling. He put out circlers, iron, what all, that bunch of put out circlers everywhere, travel up down these roads, Brother Norris with us some months ago. Nobody paid any attention to us.
Did it?
I think you've advertised pretty well about these meetings. Nobody paid any attention to us. Well, we're going to have to get something to take place if we can to get the attention of people. And that'll be the confirmation. Work of God Almighty. That's all the thing that this God done. I don't care if you try your plan, maybe a little better than mine. I've got what I've used for it. None of them will work now. We just come right up to the hard place. What I'm talking about this morning is this, how we are going. Dave Wilkerson tells about how since the work has grown so in New York City and spread to other cities, they're working amongst the sodomites and the narcotics, the drugs, you know, against some tough ones. And he says the two things that he's learned. They preach on the streets and wherever they can get a bunch of other bums to listen. And he says the only way on earth you can get that bunch on any street corner, any building, anywhere, only you can get them to listen to you, is to put somebody up who used to be one of them. Now he bears the marks of the grace of God. He tells you about Brother Holder. They'll go there and get a truck. They'll let them there in Harlem and put a little old Alan Steeper on it and try to, and they'll sing, you know, to try to get rid of the crowd. They all want relief around man on the needles or something else, you know. And to get some out to come and listen to them a little while on listen to the singing. But say if you get up and preach a little big sermon, they'll everybody be gone before you get your text read. He said, the only people they'll listen to are people they knew where. Now they stand up and say, look at me.
Yeah.
He told about bringing one beautiful young lady who lived all her life on those streets as a public prostitute. God save. That means he cleaned her up and changed her. And he said, I put that girl up. She said, you all know me. And then she said, look at me. That's it, brother. That's the confirmation of the gospel word.
Amen.
That rapidly changes people, cleans people up, and makes you creatures acceptable. That's what we want.
Amen.
Boy, we've done got some in people converted in this country, but they're not changed. No more even we've there, they say this.
Ask them, they're not different.
And then he says the second thing, this I will, heard. He says they're coming out of our Bible schools now, precious young men and women
who've been taught much about the baptism of the Holy Ghost
for power. And he says they got power. they come and they want to spend their lives on the sidewalks in New York and some of our city slums. And says, I send them down on the streets and they tackle some fellow that's hard and blue from the needle, you know. The spirit. You know what it does? He says it fixes you so you can love wicked, dirty, filthy sinners like Jesus loved. But he said, you tackle the bums on the streets of New York City. Dope addicts. Sex perverts. Just name it. Says they won't listen to you unless they think you love them. When I hear him talk that way, hear the preacher. He goes once more to his heart more than his being. We cuss them. We criticize them. We pounded them with the word. We don't have any good love. That's right. And they know we don't love them. He might be trying to reform them. You're not doing this and they all. We criticize them. Boy, they're subject to it. They ain't gonna listen to our gospel. We got some churches and preachers under God. Look, that's the biggest, hardest thing you ever face. It's called filling of the Spirit of God. So that men and women may detect things. That in all that squalor and their rebellion, their godlessness and lawlessness, we're not like Christ. But it might be not blasphemy if we could write one more verse and add it to the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave us to go out and minister to the real old people too. We love people too. This is the work of the Holy Ghost. God given authority and power. This is my need. Under God, this is your need. Seek it. Pray for it. If God is not given, pray for it. Get the job done except that one in the Psalms. They that suffer, that they that sow in tears.